Blog Talk Radio.
Always accusing me, wanna see my phone. You say your intuition straight that I'm doing wrong. I might as well be running around. There's only so much I can take before I just break down. Baby, let's not argue, let's have a conversation. Pull me into your station, see what song's playing. It ain't all about who's right or who's wrong. Baby, this about life and us getting along. Baby, I just hate the
morning dew. I took one look at you, and it was plain to see you were my destiny.
You're all
for you anytime you need me. For real, girl, it's me in your world. Believe me, nothing make a man feel better than a woman. Queen with the crown, that be down for whatever. There are few things that's forever. My lady, we can make more or make babies. Back when I was nothing, you made a brother feel like he was sucking. That's why I'm with you to this day, boo, no frontin'. Even when the skies were gray, my back and say, baby, it'll be okay. Now that's real to a brother like me, baby. Never ever give my pussy away and keep it tight, alright? And I'ma walk these doors so we can live in a fat ass crib with thousands of kids. Word life, you don't need a ring to be my wife. Just be there for me and I'ma make sure we be living in the fucking lap of luxury. I'm realizing that you didn't have to fuck with me, but you did. Now I'm going all out, kid, and I got mad love to give. You my nigga. Skin tone, 5 minutes alone, I'm already on the bone. Plus I love the fact you got a mind of your own. No need to shop around, you got the good shit at home. Even if I'm locked up north, you in the world, rocking 3/4 to 4th, never showing your stuff off, boo. It be true, me for you, that's how it is. I can be your Noah, you can be my Wiz, then I can be your son. You can be my earth, resurrect the God through birth, best believe.
You're all that I need, I'll be there for you. If you keep it real with me, I'll keep it real with you. Loving your whole seas, it be in there, boo. On top of that, you got the good power, you. You're all that I need, I'll be there for you. If you keep it real with me, I'll keep it real with you. Loving your whole seas, it be in there, boo. On top of that, you got the good power, you.
Had no clue what you was going through. How could you be so strong? And how could I be so selfish? I know I could be so selfish. I could tell by how I treat you with my girl. Damn, she's so selfless, but she put up with my ways because she love me like you do. And no, it don't always show. I love her just like I love you. And I need to treat you better. Wish you could live forever so we could spend more time together. I love you, mama.
I keep my head high. I got my wings carrying me. I don't know freedom. I want my dreams to rescue me. I keep my faith strong. I ask the Lord to follow me. I've been unfaithful. I
don't know why you call on me. Another day, another rhyme. Another day, another time zone. Today I woke up feeling horny, so it's only right I got you playing on my trombone. Keep up, never sure where the words will take me. Beat them up, never girls will take me. Trump tight, never slurred and lazy. Give a verse and a urge to rape me, wicked please. Best friends really make great for enemies. My watch game is, can't wait for one of these. I see, this ain't no Rolex, it's the ABV. I'm hot dog, catch up to me, couldn't resist. Aim for the stars and I sit in the mist. But I was riding on fumes, so I stopped by the moon. Now I'm sitting on the hood of the like thanks for the view. Waiting on thanks from a few, cause without me you wouldn't exist. You know that gave you the blueprint, don't forget. Cold as your phone on 0%. Going up, now it's going up. Swear they hard, but they flowing soft. I'm taking off like boing on a bigger boing. Getting like a coin toss, too easy. I keep my head high. I got my wings carrying me. I don't know freedom. I want my dreams to rescue me. I keep my faith strong. I ask the Lord to follow me. I've been unfaithful. I don't know why you call on me.
And we're live. Hi, everybody. Oh, wow. Wait a minute. My microphone is on. Hold on. Okay. Hi, everybody. Let's try this again. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Literary Talks with Mona. I'm Mona. Undrip the Mic Network. okay, it's a special Wednesday. Speaking of Drip the Mic Network, the CEO of Drip the Mic Network, shout out to Izzy's pulmonologist, Robinson, and his lovely wife, Deidre, Subliminal Robinson. Shout out to them. So happy birthday to the CEO of Drip the Mic. Happy birthday, Izzy's pulmonologist. What you heard was the intro with Mr. Robinson's voice. He is a poet. Make sure you look for him on Spotify, and he has an upcoming show. I'll give the information on the club that he's scheduled to perform starting this month. It'll be two Fridays in a row. He will be doing open mic where he'll be reciting his awesome poetry, and his voice is like phenomenal. So look forward to that. I'll be sharing the information. I'm getting his flyer done, and I'll be sharing the info. So all Houston, Texas residents, make sure you look out for that. It might be a club that you live near, so check it out on a Friday night. They got awesome food, and Mr. Izzy's will be a part of the entertainment, so look forward to that. I'll be posting the information real soon. So once again, welcome to Literary Talks with Mona on Drip the Mic Network. I'm about to bring in my co-host for tonight, my co-host, author Serene Aree. Is she here? Yeah, she's here. Stand by, everybody. Stand by. I'm about to bring Serene in. We're going to give our 10-minute intro. Then we're going to introduce our guest author for tonight. Hold on. Stand by. Stand by, y'all. I'm about to bring Serene in. Here we go. Hey.
Peace, everybody. Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. What's going on?
Nothing. You know, I'm over here cooking, about to get somebody here in a little bit, and that's about it.
Welcome.
Talk to the author. See how she's doing, how she created this book.
Well, I'll be, did you get a chance? So our guest author tonight, I'll be introducing her in a few minutes. She's already here. I'm going to introduce her. We're going to do like a 5-minute intro, then I'll introduce her. But she did have a release that debuted. It didn't debut. You know, she's not a new author, but she has a release this week. Give me one second. It's a standalone. And it dropped yesterday, I believe. It dropped Monday, actually. Forever, Manny and Shanny. It's a standalone, available on Amazon. Visit my page, everybody, Mona Promotes. I'm also a promoter. Check out my page, Mona Promotes, and you'll see daily releases every day. Also, check out my promotional page, Talk to the Heart promotional page. That's my page if you want more awesome reads. But our guest author tonight, yeah, her release was this week, Forever, Manny and Shanny. It's a standalone novel. Make sure you one-click. Don't forget to leave her a review. I'll be reading her bio in a second, then we're going to introduce her and bring her in. But first things first, Serene.
Yes.
Okay, so did you hear me announce that it was Izzy's birthday?
Yes. I was waiting for you because I didn't want to interrupt you in the middle. So, yes, happy birthday, Izzy. May you have many wonderful birthdays after this. And
okay,
as far as the author goes, go ahead.
I think was, I could have sworn I had seen his number. I thought he was here.
Yeah,
so
we need to get him on the line so we could tell him happy birthday. Right.
Well, I saw his number, but then he, while the music was still playing, he had logged off. But hopefully he'll call back in. But in the meantime, so once again, happy birthday, Ivy.
Happy birthday.
It's your birthday. It's your birthday.
Right, there you go. It's your birthday. Don't give it up. It's your birthday.
It's your birthday. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday because, you know, we don't give up.
Right? There's like 1,000 birthday songs. Everybody, hey, Shawty, it's your birthday. It's your birthday.
You know, it's your birthday. We don't give up.
It's so many birthday songs, man. When it comes to the author, I did not know that, I didn't, like, see the post that her book came out, because I remember you were saying that it was a new release, and it had, or that was upcoming, but I missed the whole thing when it came out, so I'm trying to look for it now, because I've looked at one of her other books, and it's really good. I plan on reading the rest of it, so.
Well, it came out on Monday.
So, girl, you know, I be at work, and I don't even be paying attention to no notifications. But I'm trying to get on Amazon right now. And if you could announce the name of the book one more time.
It's called Forever. I didn't announce it. Give me a second. I'm going to announce the author in a minute, but Forever, Manny and Shanny. So it came out on Monday. She's an author who signed under Kayla Nay Presents. So if you're not familiar with Kayla Nay, she has some awesome authors signed under her. They can write over there. She has about, like, I'd say about 60 authors, and they're all female, so women are running the show over there. There's no male authors over there. She got all female authors.
She's doing a damn thing over there.
Yeah, she sure is. Shout out to Kevin.
Yes, all day. I've come across a lot of her books. Quite a few of her authors. I didn't know she had that many, but yeah, I be seeing them. So, I'm looking up Robin's book, and it's Money and Shanny. It's Forever Money and Shanny. So,
Oh, my God. I apologize to the author. I was saying, it is Money and Shanny. I do apologize. Sorry.
They might, you know, still pull it up. But I remember, like, when I read it, I was like, I don't even say Manny. But then I looked, and it is Money. So that's why I just threw that out there real quick.
So
that anybody looking for it, that's what
it is. Let me make the correction. Hold on. Yeah, it sure is. And that's another thing about Karen. Her author's covers are, like, awesome. So, okay, so Forever Money and Shanny.
Yes.
Mhm. Okay. All right. So I'm going to read her bio in a second, but first let me I kind of play too many music, but what's new in the literary? So we're trying to make a slow comeback after a month hiatus. I was a little bit under the weather, but I'm slowly coming back. I have some awesome releases that I've been promoting. Shout out to all the authors that I promote for. So this, they really trying to lead up to the end of the year with a bang. It's been some awesome, awesome releases. So, Blue Notes. So, I'm the CEO of Blue Notes. I have some you know, releases coming up under Blue Notes, some of my authors. There's a couple of debuts. I have some releases myself. I have, you know, two releases coming out this month. So please forgive me. I'm, like, really slacking off. But He Loved Different is a novella, so look forward to that coming.
Yes.
Also in the literary world, I encourage authors to make sure if you haven't purchased your table, your vendor, if you're not an author and you want to purchase a vendor table where you got stuff you want to sell, make sure, and also authors, grab your ticket, because Karen Renee events go out quickly. They get sold out. And even though it's getting to the end of the year, and her event, this particular event that I'm referring to, does not take place until June of 2023, but I'm telling you, grab your ticket. Click on the link. I have the link. I'm going to pin post it after tonight. The K. Renee Experience Book Expo, Author and Vendor Weekend, New Orleans, L.A., June 3rd, 2023. It's a book event, so when you click on the link, it's going to take you, and you're going to have different options, you know, to attend the, to be an author, to purchase a table. And then there's also events going on that weekend, the Literary Gem Awards, presented by K. Renee Experience. So look forward to that. It's an award for authors. So that whole weekend, so that when you click on the link, it gives you different options to purchase different tickets. So make sure you guys check that out. Put that volume down.
Yeah.
Is that the background? That's your background?
Mine? No. You hear? What you hear? TV? I mean, walk out the room. Hold on. My bad.
It was like a... I don't know. Uh-oh. All right. So, basically, that's the news for now. Those tickets are going pretty quick. Blue Notes, I have some exciting news for Blue Notes that's coming up. Just give me a chance to give me till the end of the week. So, by next week, next Wednesday show, I will make some announcements for Blue Notes. I have some, you know, awesome things popping off behind the scene, but I need to work out the details before I make an announcement. But I am very, very excited.
Right, yes.
Blue Notes. Also, shout out to the Jabril Williams. What else? Make sure you check out collaboration. Keys to a Groom's Heart, part 1, 2, or 3 are out now. We have a collaboration coming up from Blue Notes, so make sure y'all check that out soon. I'll be making an announcement soon. So I think that's about it that's going on right now. I see some book events. People are starting to book for book events for 2023, and I'm definitely going to get on that. I'm going to be in a K. Renee event for sure. Her stuff be lit, okay? And not down okay. Miami. She had one in Miami in September, and I'ma be up in there next year. But the New Orleans, I'm up in there like swimwear. But
hell yeah,
we going to New Orleans. Yeah, so
we definitely going.
Yeah. So I'm rounding up my coins, and we getting ready. Okay. What else?
Girl, I already gonna let my job know. Yes, in June or July, I don't know exactly when, but I'm going to New Orleans, and I ain't gonna be here for 3 days. Just letting y'all know.
Well, it's in June. I see some people booking for other events. I see the Mississippi Urban Expo in Mississippi. Jackson, Mississippi. I saw author Deborah B. Already booked for that, and I said, "Oh, damn! These people starting to book their So I got to find out the information. I never been to Mississippi. That's country.
Right. That's definitely country. I was thinking like, oh, okay, if I'm from Mississippi, all right. Because, like, I've been to, like, Atlanta, but, you know, that's as far as I've been to. And I'm like, ooh, Mississippi. That's definitely country right there.
For sure. Okay. So the one in Mississippi is taking place in March. That's, like, 2 weeks after my birthday. So I got some plans for my birthday month. So I don't know if I'm going to be heading on to Mississippi. But...
Right. Girl, I'll need to plan. My birthday coming up too soon, but I ain't going to be able to make, you know, plans for no out-of-state trip like that. But closest I'm going to get is going to New Orleans. But, yes, I'm going to have to think about that in the future. Like, yes, got birthday plans. You know what I mean?
Mississippi.
I'm going to somewhere. Shoot, you said Mississippi. Right.
Okay, all right. So, so Mississippi, the Urban Expo, I see people starting to book their tables for that. So once I get the information, I'll post the link on the Mona Promotes page. The Atlanta Kickback happens every year. I haven't seen any info for that yet, but I'm not sure if they even started, you know, putting the tickets on sale. But I know I'm going to be up in Atlanta.
I went there once. I can't even remember. It was a couple years ago, but I went there, and I was supposed to be going with another author, but then she had a family emergency where she couldn't go anymore, but we had already paid for our table, so I was like, okay, I'm going to still go, and like, I already bought my ticket. I already had my room paid for, so I'm like, okay. So basically, I went all the way there, and this is my first time ever leaving the state I live in, and my first time getting on the plane, and I ain't never been to Atlanta, so the first of everything, and I went, and I liked it. It was really good. Like, I missed they had like a little thing and where everybody was meeting up at, like, a bar or a club or something, and it was, I missed that because my plane landed too late, and then I got lost on the damn train in Atlanta. Girl, it was a big old thing, but it was very fun. I had an adventure, and for my first time going anywhere out of my state, I went to that book event, and it was amazing. I liked it. It was so many people, it was so many authors. I met a lot of new people. It was really good. So I'm looking forward to going to New Orleans and Mississippi. Stop playing.
Mhm. For sure. Okay, so once I start getting more information on the book events, I will post them on a page. Okay, so let's get ready to introduce our guest author. That noise in the background.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to read her bio, then I'm going to introduce her, and then we're going to bring her in, so stand by. Okay, so, all right, Author Robin is what she goes by in the literary world, but she's known as Robin Charte. Also known as Author Robin, has been penning urban fiction, romance, suspense, and psychological thriller novels since 2012. Ooh, born and raised in Compton, California. Ooh, she's from Compton. Okay, that's the hood. Good God. Okay. She uses her knowledge that she knows from city living and puts them into books in fiction form. She enjoys putting her imagination to the test with no limits. She loves writing stories that pulls her readers in so far they don't want to come out of their stories. Robin has published over 40 books. Ooh. Goody, 40 books. And doesn't plan on quitting anytime soon. Wait a minute. She's published over 200 books as a publisher for authors nationwide. Wow. She also enjoys graphic design and making skincare products from scratch in her spare time. Oh, wow. That is awesome.
She over here, jack of all trades. Here we go. Okay.
Oh, well, she is doing the damn thing, okay?
Right. Okay. Snap, snap.
Okay, so let's bring in author Robin. Oh, God, she really got me.
Let's bring her on the mic because this is amazing right here. We about to talk to one of the greatest. Let's go.
Okay, author Robin, we're going to bring her in. Who's somebody? I don't know who this is. 619 number. I'm not sure if that's Elijah. I don't know Elijah's number. But hold on. That person got their hands up. I'm going to bring that person in a minute, but let's bring in our guest author for tonight, everybody. Let's welcome author Robin. Oh, yeah, I could do the applause now. Yay.
Yes, yes. Welcome, welcome.
King
to the queen.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
What's up, y'all?
Don't mind it. We're silly.
Yes, we are.
Right.
How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We're good. Thank you. Welcome.
Yes,
to literally
wonderful.
Talk to the moment. I'm just the mic. Oh, my God. What is that noise? Mute your background. Crystal.
I have to walk to different areas of my house because there's people in here and they're talking and stuff and I'm trying to get them out of the background. So I have to walk to different areas of my house. So sorry if y'all hear me walking around.
That's
I'm
okay.
trying to put myself on
okay,
so hear the back noise.
Okay. Author Robin, thank you for coming in to chat with us tonight. Okay, so before I had read your bio, so I'm going to ask you to briefly introduce yourself to the readers. But before I do that, we have a caller, and they have their hands up. So let me see who this is. Just stand by for a second. I think this may be my second co-host. Hold on. Okay, stand by. Hello?
Literary Talks. What's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, we knew it was you. What's popping, Elijah?
How you doing?
It's been a while. What's up?
Yes.
What's going on?
It's good to hear your voice.
Listen, I'm going
to
be a fly on the wall tonight. I just wanted to, step in real quick and say a few words before I drift back into the background. But let me tell you something. Robin, her husband, Benny Cool, the whole Brand Bullies family, they have been family ever since I went indie in 2016. I have 30 books on my catalog. 20 of them have been done by Brand Bullies. So salute to that family over there. I love those guys over there in Cali. I hope everything is well.
That's what's up. That's Pete.
Definitely.
Oh, fucking. Oh, awesome.
So I just
wait a minute.
To step
what's
in real quick and give my salutes.
Wait, what they do? They do graphic design? Your family do graphic design,
Robin? Yeah, I do graphic design.
Yeah, no, I've seen their covers, but it's a family thing.
No, it's a company. Well, it's a family company. Yeah, it's a family.
Oh, hey.
All right.
Who are you calling? Because I'm always looking for new designers.
Definitely.
Yeah,
oh, now
yeah,
I know.
We'll talk about that.
From Maker Cream 3, 3, 4, and 5 of Maker Cream, they did it. Let's see. Real Ones Deserve More Than P-U-S-S-Y, 1 and 2. They did those. They did the Marital Bitch series. They did part 4 on that one. And they did about 10 others, but those are the ones that's popping up in my head right now. They did a lot of work with me, definitely.
That's what's up.
I appreciate it.
Yes.
They took my vision and made it even bigger than what I thought it was going to be. So definitely appreciate it.
Wow.
Well,
what's the name of your company again?
It was Brand Bullies, but now it's called Urban Author University.
Oh, Urban Authors University. I hear that.
That's
okay,
beautiful. Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, Urban Authors University. Okay, make sure y'all check out Author Robin. Go in her inbox. Check her out. That is awesome. You need to promote that more. I didn't even know that. You should promote that more.
Yeah, I promote it. Yeah, we'll get to that.
I'm glad I know about it now.
Yeah, I must have missed it.
UrbanAuthorUSA.com. Well, I only USA, UrbanAuthorUniversity.com. I only promote it when I have new content on there.
That's fabulous, y'all. Okay. Well, thank you, Elijah, for bringing that forward. Well, I'm pretty sure it would have came out in an interview, but I had no idea. I mean, I've seen her do covers. Once in a while, I'll check her out. I saw some of her covers. I saw a cover today that I liked, and I actually saved it. And I was going to ask her if it was still available.
I'm back to being a fly on the wall, though. Y'all go ahead back with the interview. Robin, I love you. I love Bo as well.
Not the fly on the wall.
No problem. Thanks for tapping in.
Talk to y'all later.
Elijah, thank you. You're not going to stay with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm in the background listening.
Okay. All right, then I'm not going to mute you. Okay, so Robin, please let the readers know a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to chat a little bit, then we're going to discuss your new release that released on Monday. I'm sorry, I was saying the subtitle wrong. So it's Forever Money and Shani, a standalone.
Yes.
I do apologize. I kept saying Manny. I was so comfortable saying it. I didn't even realize. Yeah, so I do apologize. Okay, so cool. Boom. Let us know a little bit about yourself.
Well, it was pretty much all said in my bio. I'm Robin. I write books. That's about it. I do graphic design. Yeah, that's it. You pretty much said everything from my bio.
Yes. Well, I had no idea that you had that many books under your belt. So that's an awesome catalog. So let's start off so you started out as an author in 2012. Oh, that's a long time. So what made you decide that you wanted to, you know, when did you first discover your love of writing? Then what made you decide to become a published author?
Well, I've been writing since I was in the sixth grade. I used to write these little short stories in middle school with one of my best friends. And we used to write about the people at school. We used to turn it into fiction. It used to be the real life stories. But the way we used to commune, that was our way of gossiping, basically. We would turn everybody's little sneaky middle school stories into little short stories, and we would just read them to ourselves, and we would write them on hand, because back then we wasn't, you know, you had to have a typewriter if you wanted to do something like that. Like, we didn't have no computer or nothing like that. So I started writing back then, and I used to journal a lot, and then I got older, and life started getting to me. I was partying and all this stuff. So I put the pen down. I was just, like, working and stuff like that. I got pregnant. I used to read a lot when I was pregnant because I was on bed rest. That's when I started reading, like, urban fiction. My friends used to give me books and stuff like that. So I would just stay home and read. I used to read a lot of the Triple Crown. They used to have these like anthologies.
Yes.
So I would just do a lot of reading. That's all I wanted to read to was the anthologies, because it would be authors. It would just be like the underdog authors. It wouldn't be like the big authors. It would just be Vicki Stringer just putting all her underdog authors in an anthology. So I would just read those.
Right.
When I was pregnant, I found out my daughter had a heart condition. So when she was born, she had to be in the hospital. So I started writing while she was in the hospital because I got tired of reading. So I had to entertain myself. So I just started writing stories like I did in middle school and just would read them to myself. And I had other people read them, and they started telling me, like, I need to reach out and try to see what I can do with my book. They was like, you can even self-publish it. This was in, like, 2011 when I started thinking about publishing. So I started sending my manuscript. Nobody was hitting me up. This was when traditional publishing really just, like, slowly started dying out. Like, Vicky Stringer was going through the mess, and then I forgot what other companies it was, but everything was just slowly dying down. So I got on Twitter, and I started connecting with people, and I found an independent publisher, and it just, from there, I was only supposed to write one book, but I ended up, like, really enjoying writing and realizing, like, that's lucrative. Like, I can make money off that. So I just, that's how I started.
That's awesome. That's great, 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 great. Okay, so
you said you started writing.
So, because I noticed that you write in several genres. So, which genre did you start writing in when you first started writing?
Urban fiction, of course. Urban fiction. I wrote about. I didn't even start writing about the hood like that when I first started writing. I wrote a hip-hop romance. I wrote about a rapper and stuff like that. So I didn't start writing like paranormal stuff. I didn't start realizing, not paranormal, but psychological thrillers. I didn't realize I had that talent until maybe a few years ago, probably like 2017 or 16 when I started that genre. But urban fiction, street lit. When I wrote my first book, when I wrote the hip-hop book, I started, because, you know, I'm from Compton, so I had no choice but to tap into what was going on in Compton, like, because I had to give the character, the rapper, a backstory. So that's how I started writing street lit, because street lit and urban fiction and urban romance, all those three things are three different things. So I started writing street lit, so all my books started being based in Compton and stuff like that. So street lit, urban romance, urban fiction, that's what I started with.
Well, I think just about every author started out, like, was introduced to Triple Crown books.
right. And the backstory of Triple Crown. We all knew the backstory. But even with the backstory, I still love their books. Like, I can still pick up a Triple Crown. I just read Vicky Stringer's book, what was it, Dirty Red? I just read that, maybe a couple of months ago. I read Dirty Red on paperback. So I'm still picking up Triple Crown book.
I haven't read a Triple Crown book in years, but I remember, you know, like when they were like really lit, and there was errors in the book, but the stories were just so good. Like, I just didn't care, you know.
I read what was it, True to the Game? I have the very first copy, the very first version of True to the Game, and it has errors on the first page.
There's different versions of it?
She's had it, you know, like re-edited and stuff like that. So, yeah, pretty much.
Well, I must have read the good version, because the version that I finally read didn't have. I remember thinking, damn, she got a good ass editor. I ain't seen a misspelled word yet.
No, I have the one where there was errors in the first page.
Really? Well, the one I read was pretty good. I believe there was like three errors throughout the whole book, and yeah, that's like one of my favorite of all time. You can tell me. I couldn't find me a quadir. You know, it's funny when authors started getting, like, you know, character visuals, when character visuals became popular, I kept trying to look, every model that I came across, I kept visualizing quadir. Quadir is the only character that I've ever read, ever, that I just never seen a model that visualized, like, the vision that I have that I always had in my head, you know, for Claudia. I haven't seen a model yet that looks like the image that I have in my head. And so that's why I was so disappointed in that damn movie with Columbus.
That's why I'm scared to put my books into film, because I always tell everybody, like, if I can't get who I visualize for my movie, I'm just not making a movie. I don't care if it's 50 Cent.
Exactly.
If I can't get 50 Cent in my movie, I'm not doing it.
Right. Exactly. I feel the same way.
Right.
But when they chose Columbus Short as Claudia, I was so pissed. I said, no! What are you doing? Because I go all about the description. So from the description that she gave for Claudia is nothing like Columbus Short. Like, so what are y'all doing?
Absolutely.
Like, he don't even come close. I know quite a few male acts in the industry that could have come closer to looking like the description for Claudia in the book. And Columbus Short just wasn't it at all. And he is a great actor, but he didn't even feel the, he didn't even present the swag that Claudia had in the book. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? I was so, and I watched that movie, and I was even more upset. Then they had a nerve to do a part two. I'm like, so the part two is a
part
two.
They wasn't about to kill me like that. I didn't even watch part two.
Oh, no. I wasn't even going to raise my blood pressure watching part two, because I was already pissed with part one. From the character of casting to the acting, I was just pissed. The person they chose, Gina, like, I was just, like, upset all around. But yeah, true to the game, that's, like, one of my favorite. But, and then them damn trip about Crown books, I had, like, three bins full of paperbacks that was, like, mostly full with triple whatever Crown book. So but I started out reading Alpha D. Minx. Like, No Exit was my very first urban fiction book ever. And then slowly after, you know, so you started writing urban fiction. So did you start out, like, self-published when you decided you wanted to, you know, publish your work? Did you start out self-publishing?
No, I started off with a publisher. I started off with almost one of the first independent publishers that I will not name, but I started off with a publisher actually, but I was independent for a long period of time, but I prefer being signed. So I started with a publisher.
Right. Okay, so that was my next question. Okay, so you prefer to be signed as opposed to self-published. So why is that? Like, what's like, the difference for you?
Because I feel like everybody has a role, and me being under a publisher, it gives me the ability to just be able to write. Like, I don't have to really worry about a lot of stuff, like, you know, like, they take care of a lot of the promotion and the editing and the covers and stuff like that. So all I have to really worry about, I still have to promote and push myself, of course, but for the most part, I can really just focus on writing. Like, I can just, now I can be like 50-50. I mean, I'm still indie. I still drop indie books, but even still, like, it just frees up a lot of stuff. It frees up a lot of stuff for me. So I prefer just being under the publisher.
Right.
And it gives me discipline, too. I noticed being under a publisher, like, I'm more disciplined under them. Like, I have to worry about, you know, deadlines and how I present myself. When you're self-published, you just, you know, you're free. You're a renegade. You can do whatever you want to do when you're sometimes it's detrimental. Like, you can get on Facebook and say what you want to say and take as much time as you want to write books, but when you're under a publisher, you can't do that because you represent that publisher's brand. So you have to be disciplined. You have to carry yourself a certain way. Like with, it's like having a job, basically. It's like having a cool ass right. job, but you still got to follow the rules.
I like that. Yes, that's right. I feel you on that part. I definitely feel you on that part. I have a publisher, and I'm not going to name them either, but definitely experienced something with them. And I started thinking about, okay, I'm going to go, should I go back? Because I thought about that same thing. Like, if you're more disciplined, you have deadlines, you have to, you know what I'm saying? Like just like you say, you got to go to work. You got to meet your mm-hmm. goal. You know what I'm saying, in order to get paid. So, yeah, like, I agree with you on that because I learned that when I did go indie and started, you know, self-publishing my books, I started seeing that, like, okay, I was more relaxed and, I could put this book out whenever I want to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And then time went on and I was still, like, I dropped some books, but then, like, if I was with a publisher, I probably would have dropped more books. You know what I mean? Like, I'm with a publisher now. So I plan on dropping more books, but before when I was by myself, I wasn't doing like what I was supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? Like, you need to be dropping
exactly.
books consistently. Like, I dropped 6 books with my publisher, and I did that because I had a deadline every time. And like, by myself, I've done, you know, 6 more books, but it's taking me a longer time to do them than I did when I was with a publisher.
Yep, because most publishers give you, they give you 90 days with each book, and, you know, you have your certain amount you're going to have on your contract that you have to do, but you have to do it in a certain amount of time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely, you know, crave for that discipline because I need it like that.
Okay, so
that's
all right,
what I
so
tell everybody
you, okay.
around me. Like, you gotta have discipline. Like, if you don't have discipline, them books
right.
ain't gonna never come out.
Well, I
yeah,
think
then
you're
gonna be like me with people in your inbox always saying, "Oh, when are you gonna come out with this one? When are you gonna come out with part 2? Oh, remember that cover you showed us? Like, yeah, that's how you're gonna be right there."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I definitely crave that discipline, but, you know, just like children, you know, they crave the discipline. You know, children, you know, they respect discipline, even though they'll whine, oh, well, I got to do this. But deep down, children respect discipline. You know, they like, you know,
mm-hmm.
crave for it. Okay, so, all right, so you started out you started out with a publisher, and then you navigated to self-publishing. So when did you come on and sign with K. Renee Presents?
Oh, this is my contract with K. Renee is new. I signed with her in last year, 2021, last July, I think it was.
She just came out? She just started publishing?
No, I don't think so, but I just, decided back to start being under a publisher then. Like, because I said, I was indie for a long time. I was indie for at least 5 years. But that's because I needed to go through a trial and error stage. I needed to learn the game because I felt like I didn't know nothing. And sometimes, well, not with the new publishers, but the publishers that was before this generation of publishing, they didn't teach you a damn thing. So, and I was a part of that, you know, that time. So I had to take time to myself and study the game, like learn how to use Amazon, learn how to market myself and, you know, promote and stuff like that. Because the curse with being under a publisher sometimes is you can get lazy under them too, because you'll feel like, well, my publisher needs to be pushing me so I don't have to promote and I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that. So I just took a few years to myself and self-published.
Okay. So I think I asked you that question already, but I know you like the discipline when you're assigned under a publisher, but do you find yourself, like, do you slack a little bit with your releases, like, you know, still self-publisher? Like, do you ever think, oh, maybe I should just give my publisher all my books? Like, or do you just
yeah,
really
I
enjoy
do.
Right, yeah.
No, sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. That was my plan originally. I was like, I'm just going to give Karen all my books. Like, because Karen is cool. I love Karen. She's one of the coolest publishers in the game right now. So I was just like, you can have it all. But then I had to think, like, you know, this is my, at the end of the day, I'm a full-time author, so I have to bring in double income, you know. So I have to self-publish. So I do short, I give her all my big books. So all the books that have Kate Renee Presents on them, they're all over 50,000 words. 50,000, I'm trying to give her a 100,000 word book or probably more than that. Like, because she doesn't put a muzzle. She doesn't put a muzzle on our writing, so I give her all my big books, and then I just self-publish my short stories.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Awesome, awesome. All right, so you got 40 books under your belt. So I know it's a combination of urban fiction, psychological, suspense. You know, so what is your favorite genre to write in?
Street lit. And a little urban romance. Yes, I love writing some dark street lit urban. Girl, yes, that's my favorite right there. That has my heart right now.
Okay, so does that stem from, like, you know, growing up in Compton?
Yeah, like, it does, because I have a lot of stories to tell, and I still have a lot of emotions in me.
Well,
from those times that I can pour into the book. Yeah, I lived in Compton
from age.
When I moved to Compton, I think I was like 6 when I moved to Compton, and I didn't move out of Compton until I was 22, and I'm in my late 30s now. I haven't been to Compton in years, but it's still, I was there for so long, it's still in me. Like, I can write unlimited stories about, you know, Compton.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. Compton is a very interesting city. Yeah,
Compton
is
not that bad. Compton isn't what they try to say on TV. Like, I grew up, I don't know if it's because I was immune to what was going on around me. Like, I'm not from a gang. I never joined a gang. Out of my little crew that I had, only one of my friends joined a gang. But when you live over there, you always going to be in some stuff. You going to date the gangbangers and, you know, stuff like that. But Compton is not what people be saying, especially right now. Like, they didn't gentrify it a lot, so Compton is not what people be saying. It might be a little bit darker than what people are saying, but it still is not what you see on TV.
Well, I know they always, I know there's a lot of good parts to it, but it doesn't get glorified a lot. You know, only the urban parts get glorified, and the gang, like even Black Ink Compton version. You know, like, you know, they were like really emphasized, like when they had first premiere, I remember the very first episode, you know, they just felt the need to highlight, you know, the gang part of it, you know, because when he had wanted the what's that guy's name, that girl, that actress, her boyfriend, he's the owner of the shop, and when he wanted to open up the Compton, you know, when he wanted to open up the tattoo shop right there in the middle of Compton, you know, like they try to do the storyline as far as like, oh, the gang members wouldn't, you know, felt like he needed to ask their permission, you know, so that was like highlighted. I said, is that really how it is? First of all, I didn't know gang members will show you. I mean, they had their face blocked, but ain't no gang members coming on TV as far as I know. Even though you couldn't see their face, they had the supposedly the kid, they didn't show their faces, but they had you could see like their profile, you could see their hood, you know, you could see their clothes, their hoodie and stuff. So you could see him meeting up with the gang members to basically ask permission if he could open up the shop right there in the middle of Compton. So that was
that probably was fake.
Yeah, that had to be fake. I said, well, I ain't no gang member expert or anything, but from what I know, ain't no real gang members, like, coming on TV.
I didn't watch it. I don't watch stuff that's like that, and it says like Compton and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't watch stuff like that because I don't like how they portray Compton on TV. That's just how it is. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Well, that definitely was not a, that. Well, that definitely was not a good portrayal of it. You know, and I was sitting there like, I think this might be fake. But
yeah.
Okay, so do you highlight Compton a lot in your stories?
Yeah, I was trying not to, but
mm-hmm.
I especially lately I've just been really getting deeper and deeper into it. I don't know, because mm-hmm. like I said, I didn't start off writing about Compton. And then even after I wrote, when I didn't even write a Compton story, it was South Central. I didn't really write a Compton story until I wrote my book, A Girl from Compton, and the series that I got out right now with Karen. So now I just really gotten deep, because now I call it fiction Compton. So now everything is in my own little Compton world. Like, now I feel like I'm just pouring out stuff that I tried to keep inside, like stories I heard and stuff that I saw, and you know. So, but now I've been pouring it out lately. These last four books that I wrote, it's heavily gang, just, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's awesome, because I mean, there's nothing, if there's nothing more, you know, beautiful, like, you know, when you're proud of, you know, your hometown and you showcase it. But I know a lot of authors do that, you know, and I love reading books, you know, when authors are highlighting a certain city, state that I've never been, you know, so, mm-hmm. You know. It's really, really interesting. And so I really enjoy, you know, reading about different towns, you know, through the eyes of an author, because I know it's authentic, because they can't make it up, because they grew there. They grew up there.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. Well, you can still make up some stories. I mean, because I do, I have to be heavy on the fiction. Like, I'm not writing, when I write my books about Compton, it's not like I'm writing, you know, it'll be like a scene and it'll be like, damn, that felt real. It was real. Like, so, yeah.
Well,
a lot of it is fiction, but there is a lot of truth to it. A lot of truth.
Well, I know I make up a lot of, you know, I make up, you know, places, like, you know, some places I've never been, like, you know, I've had my characters vacation in Bahamas, you know, I've never been. So I research a lot, you know, because I like writing, for, you know, about, you know, countries and islands that I've never been, you know, some of my favorite places that are on my to-do list, you know, to
mm-hmm.
visit, but... So when I'm, you know, like, I have a book coming out soon where, you know, the couple vacation in Hawaii, you know, for 2 weeks. So I have to do a lot of research, because I've never been to Hawaii. But it's fun researching. I love researching. I enjoy researching. So, you know, I really get deep in the researching, you know, when I'm, like, you know, writing about a, you know, so certain cities and states, you know, like California and stuff like that, you know, I like reading, you know, about authors who lived in Cali or, you know, or Atlanta or somewhere, because I learn a lot. So where do you currently live now? Do you ever write about that town?
No. I live in a little small white town, maybe 2 hours away from Compton. This is where I do all of my writing. I don't write about here. I might write about some cities around here, like my characters might come, you know, this way, but no.
Mm-hmm.
I have no interest in writing in the city I live in now.
Okay, but you're still in California, though.
Yes, I'm still in California.
All right. Okay. Oh, so you don't want to write about the
California
white town?
California is really big. You know, California is really big. Like, California can be two states. Like, so I live in Southern California. It's so many cities. There's a whole other, I live in a whole other county. They have Los Angeles County. I live in San Bernardino County. So,
yeah. You're in the whitest area.
Yeah. But I like it here. I need to be here after living in Compton for so long. This was needed.
Wow. Are you in the bougie area? Oh, God. You're like near Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bougie areas in California. And California is bougie as a whole, even the hood. That's what I'm saying. Like, Compton, people, you know, they look at Compton like, oh, no, you'll go in, they have really nice neighborhoods in Compton. But those people that own those homes, their grandkids and their kids are gangbangers. So that's why the area is infested. But they have really nice property there, and it's expensive. It's not cheap to live in Compton.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of projects and stuff, like.
No, they
even
got the projects.
In Compton.
They don't have no projects in Compton. They don't have the projects are in like Watts and stuff like that. Yeah, they have apartments and stuff like that, but the projects are in Watts. But Watts is right next door to Compton, so yeah. it's not really what you think. Yeah. I lived in a nice and where I live, where I grew up at, it was the hood too. But I live like 30 seconds away from Watts, where the projects are. Like, if I walk under the bridge, that's the project right there. That's Watts. But I lived in some nice apartments. And I lived next to a brand new high school, and then behind us it was the university. I lived behind Charles Drew University, where all the a lot of doctors got their degrees and stuff like that. So, and then across the street was the elementary school that I went to when I was little. So you'd be
surprised.
Wow.
That's something. They built a brand new high school next to where I used to live. It was a brand new high school right there. And then behind us was the Charles Drew Medical School. It was like a university where it was doctors. People would come from China and stuff like that and go to school there in the middle of Compton. Same with USC. You hear about USC all the time, and that's the hood right there. That's South Central. You walk out of USC and you're in the hood, so. You can't believe everything.
Wow.
Wow.
That is crazy. Okay. So urban fiction, you know, so how many, like, you know, so you did, like, suspense. How many, like, suspense book? Okay, so you have 40. How many of each genre have you done?
I actually have more books than that. I just be dumbing it down because I don't feel like having all those books is an accomplishment for me, even though everybody say it is, but I don't feel like it because I went through a lot of trial and error with every book that I wrote. I learned something new, or, you know, I fucked up somewhere. So it's like,
right,
I took a lot
right.
of my books down a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to rebrand. But I've only written like, four paranormals. I mean, not paranormals. Psychological thrillers, and then I'm just gonna drop a Kendall Vella series that's a psychological thriller. So I hadn't only maybe like 10% of my shoot, not even 10, 5% of my catalog is in that genre. But I do know how to write it really well. But it's just not what I want to do.
Right. Okay, so you said urban street lit is like your favorite genre to write. So, you know, name like your favorite, you know, street lit book that you read.
That I've written?
Yeah.
Oh. Let me think. I love all my books, honestly, because like I said in the beginning, I don't know if you remember, I said I started me and my friend, you know, we started writing as our own entertainment. Like, we didn't write books and write our little stories for other people to read. We wrote that for our own entertainment. And then when I was in the hospital with my daughter, I started writing for my own entertainment. So I like all my books. I'm a fan of my own writing. I'm a fan of myself. But if I had to choose, let me think, I would probably go with the book, my first book that I dropped with Karen. It was Don't Get Caught Slipping. Another one was probably His West Coast Baby, Chasing the Bag. Girl, all my books, girl.
Wow.
I'm a fan of myself.
So, okay, so, no, because, you know, cause I was asking, because if a reader never read your, any of your books, and they was going to be, if they see your catalog, if that, because I wanted to know, like, what's the best book to, because 40 catalog, oh, good Lord, that's a lot. Do you have, like, all your books?
I think everybody would, I would suggest everybody just start with my latest books. Whatever book you see I dropped last, start there. Don't start from the beginning of my, my
right.
Just start wherever where I'm at, and then work your way down.
Okay. Well, are there the books like okay? So the books are not connected then like you're not gonna be.
No, they're all connected. But if they read it that way, they'll still be in order. So if they read so say they pick up my latest book Feelings from a Thug. They can read that first, and then they can go and read You Can Only Get This Feeling from a Thug. Like, on my link tree, all my books are in order. Amazon got everything in order. So you can't really, you're not going to read out of place. When you click my link tree or my Amazon, everything's going to be in order. But so that's what I'm saying. Just start whatever book. So if you start with Money and Shani, if you see Money and Shani, then start there and then work your way down.
There you go.
So, do you have all your books in a catalog?
Huh?
Do you have, like, all your books on one catalog?
Yeah, on my link tree, I have all my books on my link tree.
Okay, so I need the link tree. So when you get a chance, like, just put it in the inbox, and I will post
I will.
On the literary.
The back and go forward.
I'm gonna send it to you right now.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to post Arthur Robbins' link on the Mona Promos page, also the Literary Talks with Mona page. So we're over here chatting with Arthur Robin. Please, if you would like to chat, if you have a question, please 646-378-0355, press 1 to speak, and we're live right now. I had a question. I forgot. Okay, so which one of your books would you like to turn into a movie?
Probably my latest book, You Can Only Get This Feeling from a Thug, probably that one. Because it's all Compton based, and I'd love to do something in my hometown.
Yes. Okay, so you're basically like bored, like where you live at.
Yes.
Some of these readers, you'd be surprised. Some of these readers, they'll appreciate a boring story. They'll read, you know, certain stories, like, you know, what might be boring to one reader might not be boring to another. So,
right. Maybe I'll put my city I'm living in now in my Kendall Vella story, because they don't really have a home.
Right. Oh, God, that is crazy. All right, so, Crystal, Serene, you have any questions?
No, I just got a comment.
Go ahead.
I've read some of your books. I didn't know it was coming out, so I didn't know it was coming out until that it came out Monday, so I didn't get a chance to read through all of it, but I've sampled a few of them, and I'm definitely about to fully download Forever, Money, and Shani. It's a really, you write really well, and that's like my biggest compliment, because a lot of times you get all these authors, and, you know, sometimes, you know, you... It's like, okay, it's a good story, but, you know, the execution isn't the best. You got some authors where they do really good, but, like, so far, like, I've not been intrigued to read a lot of books, but I'm definitely intrigued to read yours. So, like, your writing style, I didn't see, like, no errors or nothing like that. It's really a good book, so I really can't wait to actually get in there and read that story and leave your review. So kudos to your writing. You do really, you seem really good. I've seen some authors, and I said the same thing, but I mean, with this one, the stuff that I'm reading, it's very interesting. Off top, you already done captured my attention, and I got to keep going because I got to see where it's going to go.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And that just comes with, like I said, you know, I wrote all those books, and When I wrote all those books, they all were just like lessons for me. Like, I learned how to edit and stuff like that. When I send my book to the editor, she made some quick cash. Okay, like, she made some quick cash because I've learned so much after writing 100 books and then helping other people write their books. I've edited just as many books as I've written. Like, I've rewritten other people's books. I've never ghostwritten a book, but I've, you know, shadowed people in their writing and stuff like that. So I've learned a lot since 2012. I came in the game writing chicken scratch. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I never asked for help. I never Googled nothing. Only thing I Googled was, like, what kind of car I want the nigga to drive, or, you know, stuff like that. Like, I started just from scratch. Like, I didn't have nobody around me that write books or read books. Well, my homegirls, they read The Coldest Winter Ever and stuff like that, but I learned a lot since my first book. And I recently took my first book down because I'm going to re-edit it. I'm going to do some rewrites, and it's just going to be a whole new story, and I'm going to rebrand it totally different, get a hardback and stuff like that, because it's a really big book. So I've came a long way from Money and Shani.
Right. That's what's up. A lot of, like, your story reminds me a lot about myself, because, like, I'm, like, in the process of doing the same thing, like, learning from being with one publisher to going to somebody else. But in between that, I was indie, and, you know, I was inspired to write when I was younger, and right now, that's the same thing I've been doing, is, like, learning how to do a lot of things myself. And, I mean, I've sent stuff, even when I was published, when I was with my first publisher, I'd send in my book, and they'd be like, okay, like, did who you get to edit this? And I'm like, oh, I did it myself. And then, like, you know, like, oh, my God, this is really good. So, like, I've learned a lot since I was with them. I will say that I did learn some things when I was with them, but for the most part, like, a lot of stuff that I've been doing, I taught myself how to do, and I just want to, like, you know, like, expand on that, you know what I mean? And at some point, just, you know, get to your point where you done wrote 100 books. I ain't even nowhere near that, but that, like, that sounds amazing.
That's scary,
you know what I mean? That's very inspiring to a lot of authors. That's very inspiring to get where you can say that you've written that many books.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Okay. So, I noticed that there's what I love about the, you know, over there, like, you know, ever since I started promoting, you know, for Karen, I just noticed. I mean, I noticed it before that. You know, actually, tried to sign with her. She never hit me back, but, you know, whatever. she is very, you know, a lot of people trying to, a lot of authors, you know, admire with, you know, the foundation over there. You know, I noticed, like, a lot of authors, it doesn't seem, you know, for sometimes, okay, sometimes when you have, like, a dynamic with a lot of women,
sometimes it could be cattiness, you know, drama, but it seems to be genuine, you know, support over there. And it's like 60 women. It's like putting 60 women in a room, and there's literally like don't seem to be much fakeness. You know what I'm saying? Like it seems to be genuine support. Like, am I seeing correctly? Like, you know.
No, you see it correctly because Karen don't play that much. If we get along, somebody's not gonna be in place. Like I said, she teaches a lot of discipline. She teaches you how to preach. She doesn't, not only does she teach you about like your craft and stuff like that, but she teaches you how to present yourself and really be an author. You know, you can't call yourself professional and all this stuff if you got a bunch of cattiness going on. So she makes sure we don't be having none of that going on. Everybody stay in their corner, and that's just that. We support each other, and, you know, that's it.
Right. And that is so awesome. I really admire that, you know, because
it's too many of us to be, you know, some of us, we don't even really, you know, and what's crazy is, you know, a lot of us don't even know each other like that. We've never even spoken to each other, you know, behind the scenes, but we show up on release day and support each other because it's just so many of us, like, that would be too chaotic, like, you know.
So
everybody
awesome,
stay in their own lane and do what they need to get done, and that's that. And I think that's how it should be. You know, everybody have their own sisterhoods and stuff like that. They have, you know, who they talk to and stuff, but it doesn't interfere with anything. Nobody's jealous of each other. There ain't no hating shit going on and stuff like that. She got a real solid team. Like, she handpicked all her authors. She didn't just sign any old body. Like, she really took her time with her roster.
Right. Well, that's awesome. I think that's great, you know, to see that because that's really hard to find, you know, that genuine unity. And then everybody really show up and support each other. So I really like that, you know. I'm not used to that. I don't get along too well with females for whatever reason. So just to be a part of that as a promoter is really nice. I thought, it's still forming. But I like that. I admire that a lot, so.
No, Karen is real, she's a real positive person. She's real headstrong. Like, I really do. I don't admire too many people. I don't admire a lot of people, honestly. But when it comes to Karen, I really admire her. Like, I really just, like, look up to her and just be like, damn. Like, she's she's different. She's different.
Right. Yes, yeah, well, she got an awesome thing going over there, and I really want to visit her office. Where is her office located? I'm going to take a trip over there.
I think it's in her hometown, if I'm not mistaken. I don't want to say the wrong thing. You know, I don't know nothing about the United States. Yeah.
So don't give me a hometown. Don't give it to me. I'll ask her. Because I really was trying to plan a trip, you know, for the holidays for me and my daughters. I was trying to handpick try to just pick somewhere different that I've never been to, you know. I just want to get to the world, you know, because, you know, the holiday is going to be different for my daughters. You know, they just lost their dad in September. So I know the holidays, they said they, you know, that they really don't want to be here, you know, for the holidays. So I was trying to find someplace to, you know, take them. I said, well, where do you want to go? They were like, I don't know. We don't know. Just somewhere. And so I said, I was trying to pick a state, you know, to visit. So. I'll figure it out. But she had showed pictures of her office. I said, oh, that looks so nice. Her office is nice, so classy. And then she got the writing room. She got a room called the writing room for.
I want to visit there too.
That looks
so cozy. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to go in there and write. I might go in there and eat.
Girl, I might go chill, lay back, kick my feet up, because it looks real cozy. It looks real comfortable in there. I said, oh, I'm not writing if I go sit in that room. I'll tell you that right now.
Right. You're going to take a nap. I'm going to chill.
Yeah, I don't know if she has a couch in there. She has showed brief pictures. She didn't show a lot of.
She had like a pillow set up, I think it was.
Oh, hell no. See, I ain't writing. She got... Not with no pillow set in there. Oh, my God.
Right.
It looks very,
not at
it looks
all.
Very
not at all.
Cute. No, she got a cute little, it's the decor is pink, and she got a nice little, you know, chic, up-to-date computers. It just looks real cozy and comfortable in there. I said, oh, hell no. I'm not writing if I go in that room. So, so shout out to Kara Renee. It's good to, you know, that, you know, she's doing so much positive stuff, you know, a lot of stuff that you don't see too many other publishers doing. So she's really, you know, killing the game right now. And her awards, she got the Gem Awards coming up. So I've been like,
yeah,
you know,
she's setting the bar
promoting.
Real high.
Yes, yes. So I encourage, you know, readers, make sure y'all click the link. There's a whole full event going on that weekend. You're starting with she's going to have the VIP greet and meet that Friday. And then Saturday is the book expo. So authors, get your table, lock your table in. New Orleans, I'm going. I think I'm going to get, then they got like a package, you know, where, you know, to, the package will cover everything that's going on for the weekend. The package is $350. I really think it's worth it because that includes everything that's going on for the weekend. Instead of buying individual, you know, paying for individual, because she also has individual tickets. Like if you just want to attend the VIP meeting, meet and greet, or if you want to attend the Gem Awards, or if you want to attend the book expo, you know, she has like a separate ticket for each, but if you get, you know, everything in one, it's $350, and that'll give you an all weekend access to everything. The book expo, the feature, being a featured author, the Gem Awards, the VIP meeting, I just think it's great. I think it's a real good deal. It includes food. It includes drinks at the VIP meet. So, yeah, I'm going to be up in there for real. So,
yeah, I'm planning.
So that's coming up June 2023. So, and that's like one of the first. The literary.
Yeah, me too. I'm trying to be a part of that.
Yeah, the Literary World used to have the UBA, but it used to be another award show that used to be popular back in 2015, 16, 17. I'm trying to remember. It used to take place in Atlanta. I forgot the name of it. And then, but it used to be an actual award show, you know, where they used to nominate, you know, the best author of the year, the best book of the year, best promoter, this and that. And that used to be held in Atlanta. But I don't think they've done it in a couple years. Whatever. So the Gem Awards will be like, you know, the, you know, one of the newest, you know, happening thing. So in the industry, shout out to Renee. So do you feel pressure? Like, do you feel like there's any pressure, you know, for, you know, to, there's so many other authors, but everybody seems to do so well every time there's a release. Do you ever feel like, do you ever see any type of competition, you know? But like I said, the love seems to be really genuine over there.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, because everybody that's pretty much, you know, higher than me, they're really cool and down to earth, like, I talk to them, you know, they always willing to help. They'll help you with titles. They'll help you with storylines. Like, they're not closed off. So I don't need to, you know, feel like there's, you know, competition or anything. And same with, like, other people from other companies. Like, a lot of things have changed. Like, you can actually reach out to people and stuff like that, and then, you know, they'll help you. So I don't – no, I don't look at stuff like that. No, I look at it like I'll be rooting for everybody because we all trying to, you know, do the same thing. So I always look at it like, mm-hmm. damn, you know, they doing it. I know my time's going to come because we all doing, you know what I'm saying? We doing all the same shit. We all in the same community. And a lot of people mm-hmm. are more open to, like, supporting and stuff like that. Like, when I look through my shares and stuff and I see the type of people that, because, you know, sometimes it's about the quality of people that, you know, like, that shared your stuff. So when I look at my insights and I see who shared my stuff, I be like, dang, like, a few years ago, you could never get people on this level. Not those people, but people that's on, you know, that used to be on the level that the new generation is on now. You could never get them to share your stuff like that. Like, people are more open. So, no, I'm rooting for everybody. I mean, it's pressure. I mean, sometimes, yeah, because they be setting the bar high in the game. Like, damn, like, I remember when, like, 50 reviews be alive, and people, they be having, like, 1,000 reviews. So I be like, damn, like, so the pressure is on. But, you know, I don't see it like that.
Well, that's great. That's really awesome. So I really admire that. Okay, so tell us a little bit about your new release, Whatever, Money and Channing.
I like Money and Channing. This book, I actually started writing this book in, like, 2016. It was going to be co-written with somebody else, but... So I had left a lot of blanks. So I recently pulled it up because my test readers, they love this story. At first, I couldn't stand this story. I didn't even want to pick this story up because it was supposed to be written with somebody else. But and they were supposed to add their input to make it good. But my test readers talked me into finishing the story. And when I started filling it in and changing stuff, I kind of, like, fell in love with it. But it's about a guy who's trying to, well, he got out of the street life, so now he's just, you know, he's on, basically, he's kind of like on, like, level two. Like, he has all his stuff together now. He wants, you know, a business partner and a girlfriend. So they hook up, and they go through, and everything starts off good, but then they start going through stuff because they have some toxic ties, and they just, you know, they're telling their forever story, how they got to forever.
That is so beautiful. I like that. Okay, so where did you get that story idea from?
I do a lot of freestyle writing, so, like when I do my synopsis, it's, like, at the very ass end of when I'm probably about to drop or something like that. So I don't know where the storyline came from, honestly. You know, like I said, mm-hmm. it's a relatable story. I have no idea where the storyline came from. I live in my head. You know, I have a vivid imagination. So I just, you know, stuff just comes to me.
Yes. Now, I could definitely relate to that. I wouldn't be knowing where these story ideas come from. I literally would go to bed and wake up with a story idea in my head.
Yeah, right. So. Because, like I said, this was supposed to have been with another author, but I originally started the story, and I didn't really have I only went off a couple of ideas that they gave me. Like, you know, the person is coming out of the game, and they went legit, and, you know, so... And then it was, you know, a couple of backstories. They got some truth to it. I don't want to give the story away, so that's why I'm just being choppy. But yeah,
right.
It just came to me, and I just took in some ideas.
Well, no, we don't want to give the story away, but we just wanted to, you know, just basically, you know, give the readers an idea of what to look forward to. So make sure that you guys one click Forever Money and Shani by Arthur Robin is now available on Amazon.com. Don't forget to leave her a review. Okay, so this is a standalone. You know, the reader is both standalones. So they don't have to wait, you know, for part two. So do you enjoy doing series or do you enjoy doing standalones?
I like both. To get a series out of me, I have to really be in love with the character. I like Money and Shani, but I wouldn't move further with it, so it became a standalone. But I do like writing standalones because I don't have to write a part two or nothing like that. But then sometimes I fall in love with writing a series. Like I have a 7-book series, I have a 6-book series. Right now, once I finish this, my next book for my Thug series, that's going to be a 6-book series. So I like both of them equally.
Yes. Okay, so what is the... I know you have an indie book that's also available, and then you got like a part two coming to it. So do you kind of have to go back and forth towards doing your indie books as opposed to books for Karen?
I couldn't hear you. Can you say that again?
So do you find it like a challenge to when you're releasing your indie books? You know, compared to the book for Karen, like, is it like a challenge, or do you find that it's easy?
Right. Because I've been in like this same routine for a while. I've always wanted to drop like a book a month or 2 books a month. So I just know that the books that I give to Karen, they have to be longer and they have to be stronger. Like they have to have a strong storyline and they have to be longer. But the challenge with that is probably, if I had to choose, probably the length, because I can get lazy, like, man. But sometimes I'll be like, okay, I'm stopping at 45,000 words. That's the minimum. But then, like, I'll get so into the story, I'll end up writing over that every time. But it's always a struggle with the damn word count.
Yeah, well, the thing about doing standalone, you know, it has to, you know, with a standalone, it definitely has to be over. You know, you don't want to just do a standalone that's only 50,000 words. I believe that's too short for a standalone, you know, and that's the challenge with standalones, you know, because sometimes it could get exhausting. You know, so I think that's why a lot of authors, they do series. Me, personally, when I'm doing a series, my books, I'm a very long-winded writer. So my books are always, like, over 70,000 regardless, you know. So even my part ones, my part twos, like, the challenge when you're doing a series is that each part, that's why I prefer to just stop at part two. Because, you know, you have to make sure that each part is higher word count than the next. So if your part one is like 45,000-50,000 words, you better make sure your part two is 55,000-60,000 words. And if you want to do a part three, you better make sure that part three is 60,000-65,000 words. And if you want to do a part four, like, you know, so when these writers, these authors are doing part four, part five. I'm like, why? Aren't you tired? You know,
it depends on if you got your storyline in order.
Right. Yeah, but it's also like the word count. You really don't want each part for each word count to be lower than the previous one.
No, that's true.
A lot of readers notice that, and these readers, they notice everything, you know.
I'm surprised as fast as they be reading, you be thinking everybody's book is only like 3 pages as fast as they read, so I can't tell.
I know. Yeah, right, no, they notice.
Yeah, they read signs.
I wake
they,
up,
they
I blink, and they like, I'm done. I'm like, you done? Like that new book, the Demon's Dream book. It was like 800 pages, and they like, I'm done. Like, you done? Like, girl, I would still be reading. It would take me. I'm still reading books that came out in 1989. Like, I got big old Jackie Collins books that I've been reading for like 3 years. I don't know if that's because I'm just a writer and I just be slacking with my reading, but even when I was a hardcore reader, it still took me a few days to read a book. I don't know if I just got slow eyes, but they'd be like, I'm done. So I can't tell.
For me as a reader, it always depended on like the book. Like, if it's a really, really good book, then I'm in it. Like, I remember one time this girl read a book, and her book was, like, at least, like, it wasn't that big. I'd say about 250 pages. But I was supposed to be cleaning up my kitchen, and I was standing in my kitchen and leaned over my table, and I read that whole book. And then, like, didn't realize it until my back started hurting, and I had to stand up and stretch. And I was like, dang, like, I'm still reading this book, but I never put that book down until I finished it. So, like, if that book is good, like, you, your whole heart and soul get invested into it. You got to, like, I got to know the ending. I need to know what happened. Like, I'm, like, every chapter got me going. So, yeah, I mean, if you write a book like that, I can understand why somebody wake up in the morning and they telling you, oh, I'm done. Or, yeah, I'm done because this book was good and I couldn't put it down. Like, I didn't even go to sleep. I ain't got no sleep. I'm drinking coffee right now. Like, you know what I mean? I got to go to work in 2 hours.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it be. That's how I used to be when I used to be reading a lot. But now it take me forever to, you know, read a book. But I've written standalone. Like I said, I done wrote so many books. I done trained myself to write in so many different ways. Like I wrote a short story for Father's Day, and it was a quick read, standalone, one book, all the way complete. Like I can honestly do it. Like I've written all. Once I put my whole catalog back up, you'll be able to see. Like I have books that was as short as 60 pages, and it was complete. Like you ain't gonna be looking like where's another. You know, another part, or you missed, you know, you had some plot holes. Like, I don't know. I just really know how to tell a story. Like,
that's awesome. That's great. So because some are the, you know, like I try to, you know, mentor, also do a little mentor. It really is a challenge sometimes, you know, to decipher the difference between being an author or a writer. You know, I believe, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it falls under two different categories because not everybody's a writer. Not everybody.
Oh,
you know,
most definitely.
Right. So I think it's sometimes a big difference, you know, because just about everybody now is just slapping the title author under their belt. But, okay, fine, mm-hmm. you're an author, boom. But are you a writer?
Right.
Like, can you really write, you know?
Exactly. That's why I don't ghostwrite, because I'm not finna slave over this book, and you go calling yourself an author, and you ain't writing not one word. You hardly even read it or even read the goddamn book, and you want to put
right.
So that's why I don't. Sometimes I'll quit a ghostwriting job because of my ego, because that'll just pop in my head, and I'll be like,
right.
I quit. Like, I'm not doing this for you. Like.
I feel you. Cause I be doing the same thing. Like, I've had people ask me to ghostwrite for them, and I'm like, I'm not about to sit here and write this whole book, and you don't do nothing, and then you go tell everybody you wrote this book, and you ain't put no amount of effort in this
mm-hmm.
book.
And probably make more money
like,
than you didn't pay me to write.
Yeah. Like, no, nah,
well,
I might as well keep the book that, no.
Well, that's
yeah,
why a lot of ghostwriters. Well, that's why quite a few ghostwriters are actually charging. They do people pound charging $15,000, $20,000 to ghostwrite, and,
mm-hmm.
and some people are paying. They paying.
A lot of them are quitting too, though. A lot of ghostwriters are hard to find these days. Like, you're a ghostwriter,
right.
start ghostwriting, and after a while, they don't want to be a ghostwriter no more. Because some people just be rude. They be doing the most. Like, I just voided a contract for a ghostwriting job. I was going to try it again because it was an autobiography, but people be having mm-hmm. so much other stuff going on. Like, I don't even want to be associated with you. So it's just like, no ghostwriting for me. You out here acting like you were here writing stuff. Like, you ain't
associated with you. I feel you.
Yeah, they be making posts like, oh, I'm over here writing. Look at me, I'm writing. Like, you was not writing. I wrote that. You just showing, you know. So, I don't like that.
Well, it definitely seemed like a challenge. I don't know if I could do it either. I have problems, you know, trying to finish up my own stuff.
Right, exactly.
So now I got to write songs for you. And, you know, and then, I don't know. And then I haven't come across a person that's willing to pay $15,000. But I heard some authors, I heard some ghostwriters saying, yeah, people pay them $10,000 to write. I'm like, oh, I would never hire a ghostwriter. I write all my stuff from scratch. You know, so.
Me too. If I feel like I'm going flat, or if I feel like I need a extra pair of hands, I'll just collaborate with another author, and we just both put our names on there, and we just work together. Like, I wouldn't just get no ghostwriter. So if you ever see me with a collaboration, that's what you need, you know.
And that is one of the only plus sides to collaborating. Day, you know,
right.
You get a break in a way because you're, you know, somebody's writing a story with you that the whole book is not all on you, you know.
But the writer has to match, and y'all have to get along.
Yeah, I know. And it's hard. And I don't get along too well with people, so yeah. So I've done one collaboration, and, you know, by the second book, like, you know, he really worked my nerves.
Mhm.
Yeah, he really was. And I'm a real funny person where, you know, if the energy's off, the vibe is off, I can't function. So sadly, part two hasn't come out yet. And because part one came out February of 2021, then we had worked halfway through part two. But by the time we did half of part two, he done really irritated my soul. We're up to the point where I couldn't write for a long time. Then so many other stuff was happening, you know. And in December of 2021, I had caught COVID, you know. And, you know, it's just a lot of stuff that was taking place that really hindered me from, you know, finishing up my chapters, you know. And then he just, you know. Really
it seemed like everything in the world happens when you're collaborating with somebody. Like, everything in the world starts crumbling down when you're in the middle of a collaboration. I don't know what if that's some type of literary curse, because I've noticed that with every collab I've done with people, and I've heard stories, and it's like all of a sudden life just starts crumbling down when you're about to collaborate with somebody.
Yes, it's like a curse of time. I don't know what's going on, so. I might not. So I did a second collaboration, and that book is actually done. The cover's offset, but, you know, there's other issues going on with this second author. I think I need to try to do a collaboration with a female, because me and these male authors, it ain't working out.
Ooh, that's a whole nother topic.
I think I'm going to try a female this time. Because
we dominate the industry anyway. We women are dominating the industry, and we writing about these niggas. I don't know if I can say niggas on here, but yeah, we writing about these.
I mean,
these men. Like, we've been dominated the whole game.
Right, I know.
Like, it's not men making these book bays; it's women.
Oh yeah, well the female author is dominating the urban fiction worlds. You know, there's more female authors than males, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from what it seems like to me, you know, it seems to be a whole lot more females. So
it's a lot of us.
But
It's obvious.
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
No, they're wrong.
About
they're
female
wrong.
Authors.
I mean, there's a few, but it seems to be more female, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of these publishing companies nowadays, it seems to be more female authors than men that's signed under, so. So, yeah. Okay, so we have been chatting with author Robin. Yeah, like 2 minutes, 646-278-0355. Once it hit 9 o'clock, you won't be able to when you call in, you won't be able to get through. So if anybody has questions, you only have 1 minute, actually. And then you can listen to the show on the link. I posted the link on the page. So I also tagged you in it, Robin. So anybody could, if they weren't able to call me, they could click on the link. And then I'll post the link tomorrow for the show. Once it's recorded, then, you know, people could go back and click the link and catch it if they weren't able to catch it live. All right, so what's next? So I know you have part two to your, what's the name of your indie book? I've been calling that as well.
Feelings from a Thug. It's a, it's my indie book, but it's a part of my, my series that I have out with, Karen right now.
Oh, hey. Okay. So it's like extended,
It's a prequel. Yeah, it's a prequel. It's a prequel series.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so part two is scheduled to come out when?
I will be letting you guys know probably tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, so what's next under Karen?
We have a little something going on. I can't say nothing about it right now, but we got a little something going on for the holidays. I'm working on that with her. I have a spinoff, quote unquote, to my Summer and Beast standalone. I have Stormy and Saint coming under Carrie Mae. Do I have anything else coming out under her? No, for right now, that's the only thing. The two things that I have coming under her, and then I just dropped my book Monday with her. So that's going to be November, December. We already out of the year, so I'm done for the, I'm pretty much about to be done for the year. So for her right now, as long as she books, everything is TBA. Yeah, we're done. We're out of here. So I already have my plans for November and December already. So that's what I have under her. And then I have a couple of holiday books coming under myself. I'm trying to get at least 4 more books out before the year ends. 2 short stories and then 2 big books for Karen. I have a part 2 coming to my Christmas book I did last year. Wanted for Christmas was a gangster. I think that's what it was called. I have a part 2 coming for that this year. And then I have a Christmas story coming out for a book that's under Karen, my third series. I'm doing a Christmas book under that. I'm doing a short story for that, a short holiday.
Hey, okay. All right, well, quick question. Okay, so I have a Christmas novella, you know, that I got coming out in December, and I need a cover for it. Are you going to be doing any, like, holiday covers?
I have a bunch of holiday covers on my website right now. I have a lot of Christmas covers on there right now and New Year's.
They're pre-made?
They're pre-made and they on sale. What is my thing? UrbanAuthorUniversity.com.
Okay, I'm going to check that out. UrbanAuthorsUniversity.com. Okay, I'm going to check that out. I need a cover for this novella. Okay, so... So when you find a cover, if I find a cover I want, I just click on it and then I purchase it and then
you can buy it straight from the site.
Okay, and then you just like change the title, like if I want the title changed, and then I just send the. How do you have like a site or does it? do you email the info?
So you will buy it on my website, and then you'll get a confirmation email, and the confirmation email will tell you what to send to my business email, to the Urban Authors email. I don't take anything from my inboxes. If you send it to my inbox, you're going to be wasting your time, because I'm just going to tell you to send it to my email, so you're going to have to do double work. So just check your confirmation and just send it to my email, and I will send it back to you in the time that it says that I will be sending it back to you.
Right. Well, awesome.
Sounds good, yeah.
I'm going to check that out, because I need a cover for this little novella. It's called, well, I don't want to get my title, because, you know, people steal in this industry. So I'm keeping my title.
Yeah, people be stealing. Girl, they don't care. They don't care if you keep it a secret or if you put it out there, they don't steal it. As soon as you put it out, it's gone. It's for everybody. Once you put your title out there, it's for everybody.
I know. People be stealing titles from a cover that's already, like, you know, you done posted the cover, you promoting it, and people still steal the title.
It ain't got so bad that they will remix people's title, and it be looking so crazy. Like, I just seen one today, and I was like, oh, they going all out with this. Like, they even got to the point where they just will take your title. Not mine. It wasn't mine. But they'll just take a title,
right,
and then they'll just remix it. And those are, I hate to say it, and I'm putting it out here, but those, I don't consider those people sometimes authors either. I feel like a lot of people, I mean, writers and stuff, I feel like a lot of people is in the game right now because they see, like, they think it's just a lot of money in the game. Like, so people just putting out all kind of crazy stuff. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's really,
they see a popular
really
title
crazy,
and they'll remix that popular title because they see that title got so much success, and they'll take that title and they'll remix that title.
That is crazy. I never seen anything like it, only in the urban fiction world.
No, it's not just in the urban fiction world. It's in other genres, too. If you go over there to all those, like, those Beach Covington novels, like, they be remix, all that stuff be the same, too.
Yeah, everybody.
So it's just literally in general.
Adding one word to whatever your title was or something like that, saying your title, but just a little bit different. Yeah, they be remixing them. They be stealing, you know, the whole title. And I've seen that happen. I've seen people go to court because they're trying to sue somebody because they stole their title or get on a blog or a post.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was trying to see 50 Shades of this and 40 Shades of that. Man, it's so many of them. They remix them. It's like, I don't even want to read it because, like, come on now. Like, y'all even have to do that book like that.
I encourage all black authors to take a trip to the other side and see what's going on over there. They be having the same issues as us, but they're a little bit more private. We're a little more voice, you know, about things. You know, they're a little bit more private. You got to go over there, look at their stuff on Amazon, go in their groups. They be having their little fusses, too. Like, if you go to their parts and stuff, all
they be,
those
I mean, they go
things.
And they have, what is it? They be doing articles and stuff, and not everybody be reading articles and stuff. So a lot of times, like, I get my information from reading certain articles, and then you'll find out, like, from some blog post or a podcast or something that, you know, this person came out with this title, and my book came out, like, you know, a year ago, and now all of a sudden we got the same title, and they're like, oh, I didn't even know. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, And don't even, let's not even stop with the titles. People be remixing people's whole stories.
Yeah, they be ripping
like,
a whole storyline.
Your whole storyline and then trying to make it in their own way, but it's still the same way that you wrote it. That's just like, come
on
now. You ain't got no creativity at all.
Yep, absolutely. I'll be looking at their stuff like, damn, all this stuff. I'll be thinking it'd be the same author. And I look, it'd be a totally different author's name. Like, damn, they just jacked up.
You're like, why? You be looking at it like, didn't I read this story already? And then you find out that somebody else gonna wrote it. And it's like, it's crazy because that really be happening. It happens all the time. You got somebody who will like, steal somebody's story and then act like they never read that story and, you know, they follow that person and stuff. Like, you following this person. I know, you know, like, you ain't separate story or something. There ain't no way your story is similar to them. Just by queen. They want to say that. They want to be like, oh, a great mind seek life. Stop lying. Like, no, they don't. You stole that story.
Like, yep, exactly. So it's happening.
Like,
all
ain't no great mindset like at all.
That's just a thing
he
right
just,
now.
Right, he's just a piece. Like, I've seen that happen so many times, and it really ain't in just the urban fiction world. It's in every single genre. Somebody's doing this stuff. There's somebody doing something like this, and it's crazy. It's bizarre. Like, not just urban fiction. People out there whole stealing people's covers, book titles. Shading people off, they like taking people money from stuff that they didn't even do properly. And like, I had a guy who was supposed to make me a cover, and he never got the cover right. And I was just like, okay, well, how about you just do me a different cover that you capable of making, because you obviously ain't capable of creating a cover. He wanted me to pay him again, and he's like, well, I already did the work. So, and I'm just like, but Sway, you didn't even produce a cover. Like, I don't even like none of the covers. You do, like, you're not getting stuff right. And then I never got my money back from him. I offered to be like, well, let's go half and half. I'll give you half, and then you give me back the other half, because you still ain't gave me no cover. So he never gave me my money. He never produced a cover. And I gave another artist, I mean, another, you know, graphic designer, the cover design, and I told her what I want. What she did was she took that, my entire thought, and created that cover, and it was beautiful. It was way better than what I ever thought it could be. In my head, it was nowhere near as gorgeous as what she created. And she did way better than him, and that's the cover I went with. But at the same time, I still ended up, for that one cover, I still ended up paying a lot of money for it, because I paid somebody else to do it, never got my money out of it, never got no cover for it, and then I turn around and I get a cover from somebody else, but I also had to pay her. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I know they out there, people out here telling you, oh, I can do this, I can do that, and they can't. Like, you know what I'm saying? Every now and then I make covers. If I can't do something, I'm going to tell you I can't do it. I'm going to tell you off top, like, I don't think I can do that. I'm not the greatest.
I make
but,
my own covers.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, a lot of my covers I've made myself. Some covers I have had made, and I'll tell people when I made a cover myself or when I have somebody else make it. But if somebody comes to me and they say, hey, you know, can you do this? I'll let them know, like, no, I can't do that. And, you know, I'll give them a suggestion to go with a different graphic designer or something, somebody who I know can do it. But I'm not out here taking people money and like, yeah, I can do that, and then can't even deliver what they actually need to deliver. Like, no. And there's people out there doing that, like, it's a sad, sad world. And then when I say world, I mean entirety of it, like everybody doing it. It don't matter what genre you in, everybody doing it.
That's why I make my own book covers. My last five books, all those covers was made by me. Yeah. I wish I knew how to make covers. It definitely, you know, it's a plus size, you know, when you know how to make your own stuff. So do you make flyers too? You make your own flyers as well?
Yeah, I make all those flyers. The ones that I sent to you, yeah, I made those.
Yeah, that's great. Shout out to Serene. She makes flyers. She knows how to make flyers. She does covers too.
Okay, okay.
Yes,
I make
yes,
my
I
own
mean,
stuff because I want my stuff to just stand out from everybody else's. And, like, right now, everybody's using, like, the same graphic designers and stuff like that. So I want to stand out and look different. So I just start making my own covers with my own style.
That's how I feel. Like, I want to stand out. I want to be known. Like, you know when you see that, that's me. Because my covers ain't like everybody else's. My flyers don't look like everybody else's. Like, when it comes to me promoting my books, like, I'm going to take the special time out, and I'm going to make sure my stuff looks different, because everybody has the same. Like, that's what I had a problem with, like, my publisher when I was first with them, the first publisher I got with, because everybody's books was looking the same, everybody's covers looking the same, and I was trying to be different. And they kind of saw that. So, like, all my covers didn't really look like theirs. And then my first cover, people were saying, like, it stood out a lot because it was like, yeah, this ain't like they normal covers. And that's because I didn't want a normal cover like, you know, like, I don't want a cover, everybody got the same cover. And then sometimes you're using the same models in the same cover but a different title and a different position. No. Like, I don't want no covers like that. And you know, people be doing that. And everybody's stuff looks the same. You don't know who, what author. Like, that's why I have a hard time remembering who, what author is who, because shoot, your cover looks like her cover. And your flyer looks like his flyer. Like, you know, everybody's making the same stuff. And it's crazy. I want to stand out. I want to be different.
Right. So that's also a shout out to Serene. That's why I had to make my flyers on. I'm clueless when it comes to making flyers. Okay, so all right, so I wanna thank you, Robin, for chatting with us tonight. Okay, so
Young
Catalog. Yes. Okay. So where can the readers find your catalog? Like, do you have like all
Amazon? Yeah, the Linktree that I send you, all my books are on my Linktree. I'm kind of hard to find on Amazon because my name is Robin. So you're gonna get Robin Williams. You're gonna get a whole bunch of white ladies. I've been battling with Amazon for years. I'm co-authored with other Robins. Like, it's just a lot going on with me right now with my name. But I'm not changing my name. I love my name. I was thinking about rebranding my name, but I'm already established. My name is not long. You know, I don't have, like, a urban name or anything like that. But that helps me be able to write, like, my psychological thrills and stuff like that. I can reach other people, you know. I don't have to have a pen name or anything like that. Like, my name is universal. So, and I kind of think it's dope that, you know, a girl named Robin is writing some stuff with all this stuff and all this gang stuff. So I enjoy that. Like, that's my image. That's me. Yeah, that's my image, you know. That's me. So if I'm hard to find, then whatever. Diamond in the rough. But right. I do have all my stuff set up. I have my my Linktree and my Amazon link and stuff like that.
Okay, so I'm going to share the Linktree, link. So then that'll lead the readers straight to your catalog. So
I'm gonna hit you up about that too,
sure,
because I need to switch some stuff. I need to switch some stuff around with my promotion. So I'm gonna hit you up about that too.
Okay, cool. Okay, so everybody, make sure you check out author Robin's recent release. It just dropped on Monday, Forever Money Ancient. Oh, I was saying Manny all that time. I'm so sorry. Money and Channy, make sure you one click. Don't forget to leave a review. I stress, you know, reviews mean a lot to us authors, so please don't forget to leave a review.
Yes.
Even if it's not a 5-star review, just, you know, just tell, don't just leave a 1-star review.
No, I need to be a 5-star review.
Or 2,
no.
So what?
No.
Yes.
No.
I'm trying to be
all. Even if you didn't like it. Support the movement. I worked hard on that. Give me 5 stars for actually writing and completing a book. Something that you might have not been able to do.
Exactly. I mean, I think readers forget how hard it is to really write a full book.
Right.
Imagine,
it's
even
so
a novella. You know, it's not easy.
Exactly. Those
are
the hardest ones
hard
to write.
I think they just don't know. Like, I don't think they forget how hard it is. I think that they just don't know because, like,
they,
you know what I'm saying,
know.
As a reader, like, all you do is you read it and you're like, oh, my God, this was amazing, and how are you so great? And then if you read something bad, you're like, what happened? Like, what was you doing? What was you on? You know what I'm saying? And they don't understand, like, okay, well, you know, I got life, and or it might take me a long time to come out with my book, but I had life going on, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got life just like
or sometimes that's just how and, I was feeling, like,
right.
Like, that's just how
and
I was feeling when I was
like
nervous.
Some of us, you know, like, a lot of people, like, I've got it to where people, like, when they find out I'm an author, they think immediately I'm supposed to be rich and rolling in the dough, and I should be able to just sit
yeah.
back and write and spend my money. And I'm like, no, it's not like that. Like, I have to build up my name and my brand. Like, I'm not, like, out there like that. I don't make money like that. So when I tell them I'm a writer or an author, they're looking at me like, for real? Like, what you doing taking a lift? What?
Exactly.
Like, you should be rolling in a Bentley or something. And it's like, no, like, I got to get to that point. Like, no matter how many books I got under my belt, I got to do it.
Right. Exactly.
And the readers don't know that because they readers. Even if some of these readers who are authors, you get readers who forget that they're authors and they say
they,
stuff like
definitely.
That.
They the main ones be forgetting, like, don't you, we don't, you're not a reader.
Right, you are an author. So don't come at me like a reader because you know how it go. Like, where your book at? You over here reading books. You're supposed to write.
Right. Right.
I think they don't forget. They just don't know. You know what I mean? Like, some of them just don't know how hard it is. Like, I mean, the easy part is writing a book and getting it done. After that, we got to promote ourselves. We got to get covers made. We got to go through edits. We got to continue to talk about this book and make it relevant at all times. You know what I'm saying? And go back over it once you read it. We ain't out here putting out rough drafts. We out here really writing. And
exactly.
Sometimes readers forget that. Like, that's why you like that book. That's why you love it, because I put so much effort and time into it. And believe me, you don't want me to put out a book that I wrote yesterday. You really
right.
don't.
No, you don't.
Because you're going to be like,
right,
what?
Right.
Like, wait a minute, there's a whole part missing right here. It says scene. Like, you missing a whole chapter.
All right, well, make sure y'all leave a 5-star review.
Yeah, check Robin out, because I can tell you right now, I read a little bit of it. I have not read all of it. For y'all readers who have, make sure y'all leave a review. For y'all readers who haven't, go ahead and pick that up, because I can tell you right now, she can write, and I'm already intrigued by Forever, Money, and Shawnee. Like, I'm definitely going to read that, because, like, I can't wait to get off this podcast so I can get back to read the book, because, you know, it was really interesting.
Right.
I was like, okay, wait a minute, what money you about to do? You know what I mean? Like, what is you about to do? So I'm really intrigued by this book, and your writing style is good. Like I said, that don't seem like no rough draft to me, and I've read a lot of rough drafts, whether they said they went over it or not. I've read a lot of rough drafts.
That's definitely
right.
A lot of rough drafts. Shout out to Karen for really caring about our work.
Yes.
Like, that's under her brand. So, man, she got
she
the best
playing.
Editors
like,
right now. Yeah. Exactly.
You about to
so,
put out this
yeah.
real
shout
stuff.
Out to her.
You ain't got the real
for the book
ain't coming
out.
Out. Like, I appreciate that.
Once again, thank you, Robin, for sitting chatting with us tonight. So make sure
yes.
everybody you one click Forever, Money, and Shawnee. And I hope you will come back with your next release. It was fun chatting with you. Just make sure you shout out all your social media, you know, where the readers can find it.
Now y'all can find me on Facebook. Like I said, it's hard to find me, y'all. Y'all just gotta click my link tree. All my information will be in my link tree. But I am on Facebook, Instagram. That's it. I'm just on Facebook and Instagram and Amazon.
Yeah. All right. Well, make sure you check out Miss Robin. Thank you so much for talking with us tonight, Serene. Thank you for co-hosting.
Yeah.
Special thank you to
always.
Elijah for dropping in to say hello to our guest. No, he hung up a while ago.
Okay.
Yes, and
Special shout out to the CEO of Drip the Mic Network, Isis Pulmonologist Robinson. I hope he's enjoying his birthday. He did call in, but he didn't say nothing.
Happy birthday. I did see his number.
Happy birthday, birthday boy. Hope you're enjoying the big 5-1. He's a good for his age. He's young. So we'll be back Saturday night. We have another show, the Midnight Love show with Arthur Petty.
Are you doing after Saturday?
No, we're going to discuss when we'll be returning, but that will be returning soon, so we could talk about love. We'll be back with the Rally Talk with Mona this coming Saturday. Post our guest for this Saturday. Thank you, Robin. It's been fun.
No problem,
it's
Robin.
Been
it was great talking to you. Much love. Peace.
We sure will. All right, everybody. We're signing off and have a good night.
My bitch drive a all-white rank. Couldn't hit it if some niggas had iron. Lanes can't call it and you lame. You had it and you lost it, all the shine. I can buy a Billy, don't talk to me. For a show, 150, don't talk to me. You ain't never helped your mans, don't talk to me. You just follow all the trends, don't talk to me. I set the bar, I'm the fucking bar. Look in the sky, I'm a fucking star. I don't fall in love cause I be loving hard. Do everything like my shirt, it's a large. I don't care, I cross a ghost. Got two cribs and two steaks, I be doing the most. I got white folks money that I won't blow. And if you ask why, cause the white folks don't.
Big bank, tight, low bank, bank. Big bank, tight, low bank, bank. Type of money you gon' need a sight. Type of money you gon' need to buy. From the hood, this type of money make you stay away. Type of money she gon' let you put it in a bag. Big bank, tight, low bank. Big bank, tight, low bank.
Everything proper, no propaganda. Tropicana, go yard, bandana. Big sack, a lot of hoes like Santa. Threw a birthday party in a phantom. Big shit like a dinosaur did it. And you know titties shining like acrylic. Yeah, I sold dope and had cornrows. I can see you nigga hang with the door closed. Now I'm looking for a glove with a sparkle on it. And my CBD got chocolate on it. Big bank take small ass shit. Bank account on some tall ass shit. Attitude on some fuck you too. Bank roll on...